Blog Talk Radio.
I'm coming out of my comfort zone. Some of the places in my life that comfortable, God is challenging me. Trust and believe, for to go where I've not gone, I must do what I've not done. So I'm coming out of my comfort zone. Though it may cost me some friends, I'll walk alone. God is challenging me to trust and believe, for to go where I've not gone, I must do what I've not done. No.
Hello, hello. Welcome to As a Kid Radio Show. How are you all doing out there? This is your host, August Crenshaw. Happy to be back in the studio, happy to talk to you all, ready to engage and see what wonderful news it is that we have to share with one another today so that we can stay encouraged. You know, I think that for a while that song right there in particular is going to be the song that I'm just going to play every time. You all know sometimes there's no music and sometimes I switch it up, but I think that this is a time and this is a season for people to begin to get out of your comfort zone and for you to be content with being out of your comfort zone but not being content in it. It's time to change some things. You know, I am always excited to be here. There's always something going on. You know, people always have challenges and changes that, you know, we're going through. And I think I have something really great to share today. You know, we talked last week about the dream giver, and we talked about getting out of the comfort zone from the standpoint of fulfilling your passion. But now we're going to talk about getting out of the comfort zone of quitting. Yeah, that's something to think about right there. You know, for those of you that got a chance to see the title of the show, it was, when is it okay to quit? Let's think about that for a second. You know, here's some questions for you to think about. You know, does it seem like every time you turn around, your situation is getting worse and worse? And if so, when is it okay for you to say, I give up? I mean, do you ever think to yourself that if your situation would just, if God would just handle it, then, you know, everything would be okay? You know, is that healthy thinking, especially for a believer? You know, I can already just tell you, you know how I am. I just go ahead and give the answer at the beginning. No, it isn't. But the thing about it is, but let's take it off. Let's take it off of the concept of whether you're a believer or a non-believer. We've seen the books before, The Power of Positive Thinking, and, you know, what was the show we watched when we were little kids, for those of us that remember, with the little train that said, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. It was never, I think I can. You know, so today, you know, we've talked about pushing, but a lot of times, I think maybe I'm coming from a way, way, way extreme side of positivity. I want to come from a negative side today. You know, I want to share a story with you. You know, I almost always have a story to share or tell, but a conversation occurred today, and it's a life changer. It is. Bottom line is, I found out that someone very, very close to me had cancer, or has. You know, I say it in the past tense because I'm looking towards the future. But it was brought to my attention that someone that I care about a lot has cancer, breast cancer to be specific. And, of course, when I found out, you know, I'm saying, you know, let's touch and agree. We going to believe, you know, heal, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Well, to make a long story short, after going and having the lump removed from her breast, and the cancer was supposed to be cleared, I noticed, I said, she still has cancer. You know, the crazy thing is let me kick you some background, because remember the question I asked it doesn't seem like every time you turn around, your situation just gets worse and worse. Now, it's a bad deal to find out that you have cancer. There's no way that you can ever make that glamorous at all. Well, at the end of the day, this individual found out about the cancer when it was very minute. It was small. It was so minuscule that it was very hard to even see microscopically. But it was definitely evident that the cancer was there. And for those of you, you know, you got stage 1, 2, 3, 4, I believe 5 is the last stage, you know, cancer. And the doctor told this individual, if I had to put you on a scale, you're a -1. It's there, but it's so, but it's there. It was literally just that small. And I don't know very much about the procedure, but I know when you're talking about big needles and sticking people, that it's extremely invasive and it's very painful. And she went through a lot of support with her family being there with her, only to come out and find out that her breast is not clear and that there is still some there. Now, what's crazy about this situation is, okay, so this individual had 3 doctors to go see, the surgeon that performed it, the radiologist, because the next part would be to get radiation treatment, and then a medical doctor, you know, for her medicine. And she was just sharing a story with me. She said when she went and saw the medical doctor the other day, she just said, well, I know you're supposed to get radiology treatment. However, I am going to say we need to put a pause on that because I was able to look at your whatever it was, the x-rays, the mammogram, you know, for my technical medical jargon being off, and it appears that there's still something there. And plus you had a genetic test done. And when the genetic test comes back, if it's positive, it's honestly, it's going to be a good job for us to just go ahead and do a mastectomy on both breasts. And there's no sense in moving forward. And that is exactly how the woman talked to her. It was one of those things where it's like, really? Not, okay, how are you doing? I notice you're here by yourself. Can you call someone to be here with you? You may want some support. I don't have some necessarily good news. Ma'am, I just want to share this with you. And, you know, these are the potential side effects, the emotional things. You know, she didn't prep her. She didn't give her any comfort before, during, or after. I mean, the spiel that I gave you based on her story telling me is the same way that the doctor gave it to her. I mean, just completely detached, no humanness whatsoever. So how do you go from, think about the highs and the lows. Oh, my God, everything's so great today. Oh, my God, I know I have cancer. I'm dying. Okay, oh, my God, I got to go through this painful, invasive surgery. But, oh, my God, now everything is okay. Oh, no, now you're not okay. And, by the way, you're going to actually have to get both of your breasts cut off now. I mean, can you imagine, like I said, when it's getting worse and worse and worse. So this individual, though, I mean, to hear the information, when she was giving it to me, you guys have to understand that this is someone very near, dear, and close to my heart. And I have had to be strong. People, I prayed with people through some things, and I've held back tears so that I could look like a strong one and be like, yes, it's going to be okay, and everything is going to work out right. But I couldn't do it this time, y'all. I could not. I was in tears, and by the time she finished talking, the question she said was, August, why are you so quiet? Now, y'all know I talk a lot. It ain't that much that can shut me up. But that shut me up and shut me down. And I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want the individual on the other line to hear me break down. And I just finally had to say, you know, so-and-so, I'm so sorry. I know you don't need anything else piled up against you. You got the tears. This is your situation. I don't want to be crying about this, but to just think about it, it hurts me. I know you're going to be okay, but we're talking about cancer. You know, so the bottom line is I didn't console her, people. I didn't do the consoling. She consoled me. She's got cancer, and she made me feel better. Now, I just said in the beginning, before I told you this story, there's no way you can glamorize cancer. This woman is off the chain. Because she glamorized the whole doggone thing. She was like, it's okay, August. She said, because I think I'm going to be cute this summer. I was like, okay, well, you cute anyway. You know, she's like, nah. She said, because see, the way the thing goes, when they cut off my breath, they already told me I'm going to feel like I got hit by 2 Mack trucks for like 3 months. But it's okay because I'm a heel. And then I'm going to get reconstructive surgery. And guess what? In order for them to do the reconstructive surgery, they got to take fat off my body. They're going to take some off my belly. They're going to take some up off of my hips and my booty. She said, I'm going to be skinny and I'm going to have me some titties. I'm sitting there, now y'all may not like that word, but y'all know I keep it real, I keep it raw. I'm dying. Do you hear me? If you're not on the other side of the phone, on the studio laughing with me, it's something wrong with you. She said, and you know what? I don't want a real bitch. She said, just can you see that? You got a little bitty waist, you know, a nice petite size breast, a little slim hip line. She said, oh, man, I'm going to be cute this summer, and I got to work out so that I don't have a reason for the cancer to ever come back. She said, but yeah, I'm going to be cute. And then I'm going to give me one of these T-shirts that my sister said she saw that said, yeah, these breasts are fake because my real ones tried to kill me. I'm on the phone dying, people. I am dying because this woman is taking a time when she's facing death, a time when she's facing losing what we define as our womanness, and she's got a smile on her face. She doesn't know yet, but based on the test that comes back, her ovaries may have to be removed too. You know, and when you're talking about taking away the things that define you as a woman, you know, that right there, that's hard. I talked to another woman on a totally different tangent earlier about that. Taking away the things that define us as a woman, that's something that's hard. But here it is. This one, and it was genuine. It's 100% genuine. She's going around encouraging other people in all kinds of situations to say that it's going to be okay. So I go back to my previous questions. Before we dig into any scriptures or start talking about anything, when is it okay to quit? Somebody tell me. If you would like to interject, go ahead, push one now. Make a comment. But when is it okay to quit? How worse, when the situation goes from worse to worse to worse to worse to worse to worse, matter of fact, let's get grammatically incorrect, when it gets to the worstest. Is there a point when it gets to the worstest and we can just literally quit? And when do we get to give up? And the answer is we don't. So why do we want to quit sometimes? Why do we want to give up? Well, specifically, before I give all the scriptures that define why we should not quit, I want to bring in here because I think that, well, sometimes the reason why we want to quit is because of condemnation and because of guilt. I'm going to tell you something. Have you guys ever heard the expression, I would wish that on my own worst enemy? Have you ever looked at someone that you love and you know that they're not perfect? I mean, you ain't perfect. They ain't perfect. But when you look at them, you'd be like, man, God, they don't deserve that. I mean, because there's nothing in me that says, oh, yeah, that individual right there, after all the stuff she did, you know, she was a slut and she should have gotten, you know, breast cancer. No, you don't say things like that. You don't think things like that. Well, you know what? God is the same way. Unfortunately, because the church has developed such a strong affinity towards sin, I don't think we realize it, but when we make mistakes, and when we make bad decisions, a lot of times I believe that we end up going down to that place where we start saying, well, you know, maybe this is why I lost the job, or maybe why this isn't working. You know, don't get me wrong. There are some things you literally can do to bring certain circumstances on you. But what I need you to not do is stay in the place of pity and believe that that's still what God has for your life. If God thought like that, why did he even send his son in the first place? I mean, let's just keep it basic. He so loved a jacked up, measly, no good, despising him world that he gave his only begotten son that we may be able to live life and to have it more abundantly. So if God doesn't sit there and say, you know what? You messed up. You messed up royally. And because you messed up to this degree, I'm going to withhold all of this from you. Then we need to get that out of our mindset, point blank. We just need to let that go. You know, I was talking to another girlfriend earlier, And we brought up the scripture that says that God resists the proud and he exalts the humble. But even with that scripture, a lot of times that scripture has been manipulated and abused that it is so disciplinary. God is so loving, and we need to picture him as such, that even in his discipline, even if it doesn't feel good, it's still for our good. Any situation, circumstance, even if you did a couple of things wrong, actually don't automatically put you in the position to say that you don't deserve anything, that it's not going to get better, that you will not be blessed, that you will not go forward. You can't do that. So if you're in a situation in your life right now and you're saying, you know what, I guess you don't know what I did. I made some mistakes. I messed up a job. I messed up a relationship. I messed up a situation with school. I don't care what it is out there that you've done. The God that I know doesn't operate like people do. Now, if my heart can be passionate enough to believe that there's no reason why this woman deserved to have breast cancer, how much more compassionate is God? You know, I've said it on multiple occasions, and I'm going to say it again. For those of you that have followed the radio show, your depiction of God needs to become a lot more friendlier. When we think God, we think judge, juror, and executioner. But when the disciples said, Father, Jesus, teach us how to pray, he began the prayer off with, Our Father. And fathers, even though they discipline, in the end, they still love on their children. They sit them on their lap. They give them hugs. They nurture them. They still provide for them. They still care for them. That's the kind of daddy that we have, and that's the kind of depiction that we need to have of them. Now, you all know me. I'm not going to say anything without being able to make it biblically based. So I'm going to kind of go fast today only because I plan on throwing a lot of scriptures out there. You know me. I'll throw them back out again. If you got your Bible, go ahead and go to Psalms, we're going to Psalms 103. But I'm going to read for you a scripture that shows that what I'm saying is the truth. If you go to Psalms 103 and you start at verse 8, matter of fact, the script, I'm not going to read it, but he had brought up Moses and the children, David. He brought up Moses and the children of Israel prior to, and we already know that the Israelites was always messing it up, right? They was in good standing, out of bad standing, in bad standing, in good standing, in bad standing. Okay, so let's look at this specific scripture. In Psalms 103 and verse 8, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So, pause. You know I got to give the August version of this scripture. The Lord got a whole bunch of grace and mercy. He's not sitting here getting fueled up and getting mad. He follows his own word. He's very slow. Very, very slow to get angry and get upset. And no matter what you've done, he still has a great amount of mercy that he wants to exhibit towards you. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins. He doesn't reward us according to our iniquities. So, like I said, that spirit of condemnation, it's got to go. If you've changed and you've fallen off a little bit and you ain't acting exactly right, because, you know, we got highs and lows in our Christian walk, don't get me wrong, yes, you should have some level of conviction and you should be conscious of the fact that you need to get back on a straight and narrow, you need to tighten it up or whatever it is, but just understand, you can't go around here with a complex saying, oh, yeah, this week I had a flat tire, next week my check was short, all of this is happening because I sinned against God, because I didn't pay my tithes, because I didn't go to church, because I thought an ugly thought. The Bible, this is Old Testament, this is before the actual physical manifestation of Jesus Christ, that it is specifically saying that he don't deal with us according to our sins and our iniquities. And then it says, for as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Yeah, some people might say, well, if you fear him, you would act right. Get out of here. David fears the mess out of him. the greatest psalmist in the Bible. But that don't mean that he didn't disobey him. Fear, that means reverence. Know that he exists. Honor him. Still look towards the hills from which cometh your help, as long as you know who God is. So I don't know what any of you guys are out there are going through or how you're feeling, but you never have a time to quit. You don't get to say, this is too bad. That is not an option. And the other thing is you can't sit here and say, well, you know, God would just take care of this thing, you know, everything will work out. It's not on him. Okay, so let's kind of jump to the next phase then. Okay, so here I am. I'm telling you this testimony about this woman. I'm sitting there telling you that God don't deal with you according to your sins. You shouldn't basically have a guilty conscience or a spirit of condemnation. So what am I going to say to you to justify the fact that you actually don't have the option to quit? Well, that's simple. It's real simple. And it starts with one word. It's the word let. Most of us, it's a class of scripture. What is that, Philippians 2:15, where it says, let this mind be in you, that's also in Christ Jesus. See, if you're sitting around and your first option isn't to have a guilt trip, your second option is to believe it's God's fault because he hasn't changed your situation, then you missed the whole point, and you're going to have to go ahead and let some of the word marinate in your spirit and get it together. A lot of times you'll hear people and they will look up words in the Bible. You know, they read and they see words like Maranatha or something like that, and they want to see what the Greek definition of it is. And well, how about we just look at the word let? Let this mind be you that is in Christ Jesus. Well, let, if you just look in a standard definition, it means to allow. It means to permit. I like the synonyms for let: authorize, certify, or approve. Okay, so is let on God or is let on you? I'll wait. I'll think about it for a second. I'll let you think about it. Okay, you had no time to think. It's over. Let has nothing to do with God. Let has everything to do with you. What's the opposite meaning? What's an antonym for let? Disagree. So don't disagree. Don't let your mind disagree with the mind that's in Christ Jesus. Authorize it. Matter of fact, certify that thing. Whatever it is that Jesus said, you need to let that same mind be in you. The same kind of God that says do all things without murmuring and complaining. That in all things did have a spirit of thanksgiving. Rejoice, and then I say rejoice. That's the God that you know. The suffering Savior, his mindset says it's all good. Your mindset has to say it's all good. So the bottom line is you have to volunteer your brain to have a positive perspective. That's what the woman did. Listen to me. That is absolutely phenomenal. I got to repeat it again because I think that's amazing. This woman glamorized the benefits of having breast cancer. Who does that? Who says I'm going to look cute this summer? And when they get to moving all the fat off of me and putting it in my breast, I'm going to look good. Who does that? Someone who has decided, someone who has cut on their mental consciousness and said, I can look at this from a positive perspective. Come on, church. You ain't even got to be in church to know that. All these books out here by these authors, you know, like I said, mentioned earlier, one of the books called The Power of Positive Thinking. The author of that book did not come up with a brand new idea. I'm sorry, he copycatted from my God. So if he can do it from a secular perspective, how come we can't Christians do it from a positive perspective? Why can't we see that we need to control our mind and our thinking? It's all based on what you feed it. Now, since we were talking about translating words into the Greek and finding out, well, that specific word, you can get the translation for it. You can look it up in the Greek. It's phroneo. And it means to direct one's mind to a thing. It means to seek. It means to strive for. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Just when you were thinking about when is it okay to quit, I'm telling you, you got to work harder at something else. Not only do you still have to work harder at fulfilling your dream, believing in your relationship, believing in your ministry, or whatever it is that you got going on with your life right now, I'm also telling you that you also got to have a positive perspective on it. Yeah, you got to have a positive perspective on something that's not looking so good. And I don't know. I mean, you could be getting picked on. It don't matter. Psalms 138:7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. So even if you're getting brutalized and battered, that's how I feel about the woman with the cancer situation. I feel like she's getting beat up and brutalized. I feel like she's being hurt and misused and abused. I feel like it's unfair what's happening to her. Well, the word of God said he got you. He's coming to get you. He's going to save you. It's going to be okay. You know, at the end of the day, what it really boils down to, people, I mean, take this into consideration. When you don't want to accept what I'm saying as your frame of mind of thinking, you have an arrogant attitude. Remember the scripture, he resists the proud and exalts the humble? You have to honestly just go ahead and admit that you believe that you are above reproach, that you don't need to change. Look, I don't care how well you got it going on. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much you ain't what you used to be. We getting out of our comfort zone, people. That's the motto. That's the theme we going with over the next several weeks. For those of you that got to hear the song in the beginning, Marvin Sapp, Comfort Zone. Take some time out. YouTube it. Pull it up. Listen to that song. We got to stop being content with who we are. Because what it is that we're going through and what we're feeling, it is for our good. It is for the purpose of changing us. As a matter of fact, if you look at Romans chapter 5 and 4, this has always been a very powerful scripture for me. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Soak that in. Really think about that. Tribulation. You know, I don't want to sound insulting towards anyone. I don't want this to be taken out of context. You know, you talk to some people in the ministry and everything is just kumbaya. You know what I'm saying? It's one of them things where it's like, look, everything's going to be all right. You know, if I touch it, it's going to be healed. If I say it, it's going to be bad. And if you know, and then once again, we deal with those consciousness in your mind where it's saying, okay, why didn't it work when I said it? Why didn't it do it when I prayed it? You know, what is this happening? And once again, I'm telling you, naturally, think about your mindset. Unless you've graduated, the first thing you start thinking is, well, I guess this is what God wants them to go through. You know, I'm not sure exactly what they did, but, you know, you reap what you sow and so on and so forth. The scripture didn't say anything about punishment. Let's stop always going to that place, that mindset. The scripture says everything about developing a new creature. When you're going through tribulations, it says tribulation worketh patience. So maybe you get some of us out here with some spoiled brats. We ain't been through nothing, and we expect everything to happen when we want it to happen. So we're some impatient little brats, and it's now, 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 now. Well, you know what? It ain't now. If you are a parent, trust me, you know how it feels. I have she's almost two, a 20-month-old. When she's hungry, eat. You could be in the kitchen cutting up the apple, making the oatmeal, eat. And I'm always looking at her like, Niara, would you please stop saying it? I'm making you something now. Think about it. What are you asking God for that you're so impatient about, that you want a result right now? You want an answer right now. What you screaming? God. And he's probably just sitting there like, son, daughter, I'm getting it together right now. Would you just chill out and be cool? All she has to do to get my, think about it. All my little 2 year old, I'm finna be 2 year old. I got to call her 2 year old. She's advanced. All my 2 year old has to do is stand there and wait. Now, wouldn't it be a whole lot more comfortable if she could stand there and wait quietly? Ooh, there's an assignment for me, for you. You know I like to give assignments. How about you just Google scriptures with the word wait? pull out your concordance and look up scriptures with the word wait. I can tell you right now, you can go to Psalms. It seems like, and especially in the beginning, almost all of them start with wait. Those that wait on the Lord, wait, I say on the Lord, and wait, and wait, and wait. Just wait. So if you've been murmuring and complaining and crying and getting an attitude or whatever it is that you've been doing to deal with your situation, maybe you're not allowing your tribulation to work patience in you. Then the scripture says for patience, it brings experience. Yeah, you know, I always say I'm happy I'm almost 40 now, because that means that when I open up my mouth and I say something, I actually might have some wisdom with it. You know, I remember when I was young and I was barely in my 20s and I wasn't going to never do this and never do this and I do this and I do that. And then life hit me and I had to realize, oh, my God, I said I'd never be in an abusive relationship and I was in one. I remember there was a time when I said I would never smoke weed and I did it. I remember there was a time I said I'd never get drunk. I remember there was a time when I said I would never have this kind of friend. Never, 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 never. And all of my nevers, unfortunately, came to pass. So now I have a little bit more wisdom, and I can follow what the word says, and I can be slow to speak. Yes, you need to go through your situation because you need to understand that you don't know anything. So if you go through a trial, not only will it make you patient, but it gives you experience, because in the middle of your experience, the experience is the word of God. If you keep on trying to figure out how you're going to get out of the situation you're in and you don't put the word in it, you will stay right there. The experience, whether you want to look at it from a practical or a spiritual plane, the experience is the word of God. And you have to sit there and say, oh, wow, it is true that they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength, because I was literally weak and now I actually am literally physically strong. You know, you have to basically have the experience so that the word can begin to marinate in your mind and in your heart and in your situation. And the scripture says that experience then brings hope. Because, see, that's the missing piece, people. How many of you out there are ready to quit? Because you don't want to go through the situation, because you're impatient and you don't know anything. So since you don't have anything rooted in you, you don't have any hope. Come on, people, this is really practical. You know, sometimes we get all deep in the pulpit and we want to talk about you saw in the sky and the vision and it meant, it don't even take all of that. This is really simple. This is rudimentary. This just keep it, it's a very basic. This is a very simple plan. And then it says, and hope maketh you not ashamed. And a lot of you don't understand it. That's it right there. See, we're one body. Everything that we go through is connected to everybody else. We're supposed to be helping each other. And when you're going through this experience that you're going through, you need to have a hope, because your hope encourages someone else. That specific young lady went to church. She went to church on Sunday, and she was just telling me how she went, and she stood up after the church, you know, greeted her for being back, for being gone for a little while, and she just stood up and told them, you know, hey, this is what happened. I had it, then I didn't have it, now I have it again. I got to get both of them cut off, blah, 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 blah. But I'm okay, because this and everything is going to be all right, but I am going to be down for 3 months. So those of you that can cook, I'm going to need you to bring me a meal, and I'm going to need you to bring me something, you know, once again. And she got a call. She got a call from her pastor. And our pastor told her he had several people come to him and say, there are a lot of members of the church who were dealing with some things, but they heard your testimony, and just to think about what you're going through, they realized that they did not even have the right to complain about anything, because what you were going through made their issue look so microscopic. So you got to have a hope, people. You got to believe that it's all going to work in the end, because your hope is a testament to believers and to non-believers as well. And then what the scriptures say, so the love of God can be shed abroad in your heart. While you were without strength, Christ came and died for you. So we need to get out of the past tense and get into our future. And our future is saying we are strong. To think about it, digest the word. It says, when you were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So you can't afford to say you're weak anymore. You're not weak. You're actually strong. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. There's got to be something positive out of what has happened in your life that you can see. There has to be something that's going on that is molding your character, that is making you into a new and better creature than you ever were before. Appreciate it. Understand that what's that? You ain't all that in a bag of chips. And understand that, yes, you need to grow. You need to change. And I'm going to tell you something. At the end of the day, this one scripture that I'm going to read next that was in 2 Corinthians, this was specifically for that woman. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Once again, I'm not even going to break that down spiritually. Just look at it from a physical plan point. With all that she's going through, she literally could give up and say she is about to be destroyed. Destroyed as a woman. Possibly destroyed and just die from the disease, period. But her spirit has these words alive in her, whether she knows that's the correlating scripture or not. The point is, the word of God is obviously alive in her. She is much more mature and seasoned as a Christian than she could ever possibly believe. She is the epitome of Timothy 2 and 3 that says, endure hardship like a good soldier. Have we forgotten that we're soldiers? Have we forgotten that we're overcomers? Have we forgotten that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? Have we been so busy giving so much attention to the enemy for everything that he's doing that we haven't been able to see the so-called silver lining? We ain't got to see the silver lining. He is the clouds. Clouds are beautiful, especially when it's hot and you need some shade. It's just about perspective. The rain is beautiful because without it, there would be no vegetation. Everything is about perspective, people. So if you want a right perspective, then you better let this mind that's in Christ Jesus be in you. So the answer to the question in the beginning, when is it okay to quit? It absolutely is never okay to quit. And it is not God's job to turn your situation around. What's the scripture that people love to read all the time that, you know, the Lord wouldn't put no more on me than I could bear? You know, people always read that scripture, but they don't necessarily read it all the way through to the end. Because when you read it, it says that he'll provide a way of escape that I'm able to bear it. The way of escape is not actual escape from it. It's the escape in your mind to be able to bear it, to go through it. God never intended to make any shortcuts for us. It's about endurance. The escape is the fact that one of my favorite scriptures is that you walk in the flesh, but you don't war in the flesh, because the weapons of your warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down vain imaginations. Wherever you are in this time, in this situation, in your life, it's because you're not thinking right. It's because your imagination is wrong. It's because everything you see and perceive is wrong. Everything starts with sight. That's why Eve ate that, the fruit. It's because she saw that it was good. Your sight will jack you up. I can't remember, it's either believe none of what you see and some of what you hear or vice versa. But the point is, unless what you are receiving is directly from the word of God, your line of sight is off. The battlefield, people, is in your mind, and the option to quit is absolutely never. I'm done. If I say anything else, I'll just be repeating myself. The bottom line is, people, trust me, you know me enough by now. I've shared enough of my life with you. I don't say anything that I don't have to actually endure with in my own life. I usually give my own testimonies, but I don't have a testimony. So I want your feedback. And looks like I got some feedback coming now. Hold on. How you doing, Paula?
Hi, how are you?
Can I say your name or not?
Yeah, I'm Rachel.
Yes, how are you? I'm glad you could join us.
I just wanted to tell you thank you for moving the show to the evening. I could never catch it during the day because I was always working at 9 a.m., but your show today was right on point in my life. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, praise God. You are welcome. I am glad that I changed it too. But you know what? Okay, can I put you on the spot?
Yeah, go ahead, put me on the spot.
Okay. Uh-huh. For everybody that doesn't know, this is my sponsor. This is my supporter. This is who allows us to engage with one another. And she's also my confidant, my friend, and even though I'm going to say the wrong form of a relative because our bond is that close, this is my sister. And at the end of the day, she knows the trials and tribulations that I've gone through. She knows that on several occasions I wanted to throw in the towel and quit this radio show. And every single time I said, it's not working. I've moved. The schedule won't work. My life is too complicated. I can't even start it. I have a new baby. Now I'm pregnant. It makes no difference to what I brought to her. She gave me joy and angered me every single time because she just refused to hear what I was saying. She did. You know, I don't know what I'm doing or why I'm doing. I just know that there's a benefit to this for someone. And every time, if I can get just one person to say, this helps me, God has shown me that I need to keep going. People, we can't quit. And you need to understand when you decide to not quit, and even when you think you're on the brink of quitting, God has someone to be your Aaron, to hold your arms up like he did for Moses, and still believe in you and with you in spite of yourself. Yeah, so I just wanted to give you your accolades. I mean, it's been very rare that we've been able, like you said, to be on the show together and because of the timing. But look at what God did. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've had a lot more callers calling in now that I'm in evening time. So this wasn't even my divine plan. Circumstances in my life forced me to have a show at this time. So, he's sovereign.
But it was a divine plan, right? It was God's plan.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't mine. I just had to go with the flow.
Well, I'm glad you went with the flow, man. This is a good show. This is a great show.
Well,
great show.
Do you have anything else you want to add, or let's see if we have another
caller? No, you know, I guess, you know, the only thing. Oh, you have another caller? Well, go ahead.
No, the next caller.
No.
Come on. No, you were getting ready to say something. Bring it.
Well, you know, all I was going to say, I just wanted to add to, you know, what you were saying about not quitting. Recently, you know, in my professional life, I had 1,000 reasons, you know, to quit. Projects came out of nowhere that I literally had no idea what I was doing, how to do it, and there was nobody there to mentor me through it. But what I found out is that the Holy Ghost is a teacher.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost will teach you and he will lead and guide you when no one else will. And I found out all I had to do was commit to the process. And the whole way, the Holy Ghost just revealed to me what to do and how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I could do it in my sleep now. The projects that they have me doing, I could close my eyes and literally do it in my sleep. So, again, confirmation. Thank you so much for this show. I really do appreciate it.
Amen.
Really
do. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for commenting. Thank you for joining us. All right. Okay. I know there's someone else. I felt it. I did. I called it before I allowed her to go. But I know that there's another comment out there. You know, my thing is this. There is freedom when you open your mouth. And whatever the Lord has put on your heart, you know, to share or to say, it's not a coincidence. And you're not speaking just for yourself. You're speaking for others. It's to build and to encourage them. It's to get the enemy off your back and to let him know that he doesn't have any power. You know, I've never pled for anybody to go ahead and make a comment on my on this line. I never have done that. But I honestly and firmly and sincerely believe in my spirit that there is an individual that is resisting. Look, I'm just going to say this one last time. If you don't, we're not going to do the long altar call to church that lasts for an hour extra, because you just got to pick up this phone and you just got to say something. Listen, silence is and always will be any saint's worst enemy. He says, "You have not because you ask not. If you don't speak to the mountain, it'll never be removed." Everything that happens in our lives hinges on one thing, and it is the power of our spoken word. Your testimony, your bringing out your issue, getting advice, you know, whatever it is, positive, negative, it is for your benefit. So if there's one last person that has something to say and you just kind of need to get something off your chest, then I implore you to do so. Because you're not just doing it for you, you are doing it for other believers. Okay? Well, if you don't know the protocol, you push the button one. It will prompt you so that I can know that you have a comment. All right. Well, you know, I'm just going to, you know, before I close out with prayer, I will just give my few brief announcements. If you change your mind, as long as I'm on this air talking, you can come, you can click, come on right on in. We will listen to you. But talked about a lot of things today. I know that I threw a lot of scriptures out there. I just want to make sure that I give them back to you again for those of you that were willing to have your pen and your piece of paper. Some scriptures that I referred to were James chapter 4, verse 6, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, Romans chapter 5, verse 4, Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, Psalms 138 and 7, and Psalms 103. And I think, oh Lord, I closed my Bible. I want to say that was verse 8 through 11. So go back, read those scriptures, meditate on them. I always ask you all to go back and do your homework on me to get your, make sure I was on point. If I was not on point, call me out, email me, AugustCrenshaw@yahoo.com, Facebook me, August Crenshaw on Facebook. Those of you that know me personally, call me. I will definitely correct myself. Otherwise, I hope that the word did what it was supposed to do, that it has impacted your heart, your mind, your thinking, so we can get out of our comfort zones and go to the next phase in our lives. I can't wait to hear from you all and speak with you all next week. We're going to pray us out. We're going to keep it going. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you because all knowledge, wisdom, and understanding come from you. We thank you, God, because we can get through anything and we can deal with anything as long as we have you on our side. And, God, we thank you that even in spite of the mistakes that we may have made, it still is a part of a very divine plan. And where the enemy would like to fill us with condemnation and make us believe that our lives are destroyed and we will not be able to proceed and go forward, you, God, are the author and the finisher of our faith. You said for us to not forget you and to have faith in you and that you would work everything out. So I encourage everyone who's listening to this show now and who will be listening to it later to step up to the game, step up to the plate, and let the mind of Christ be in your mind as well. Be in agreement, certify, and authorize his word to be the only effective thing that is moving. God, give us peace that passes all understanding in any situations that we may endure. Help us to be mature enough to want to develop patience, experience, and hope to share with other believers. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you, Lord, because you are the Most High sitting on the throne, yet you love us like a father. We thank you, Lord, because you manifested yourself as a man and sacrifice yourself on our behalf. And we thank you, Lord, because even after that you were not done. You endowed us with your Holy Spirit to empower us to move forward, to be a teacher of all things in our lives. There is nothing too hard for you, which means there is nothing too hard for us. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't wait to talk to you all next week. God bless.